States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, buried, risen, and coming again, life and liberty to all who believe.
You ready?
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. I hope you are happy. You know, this is the 4th of July, as put aside by the forefathers of our country, simply meaning independence for us. And so God made it all possible. I was just thinking, in fact, I said something to my wife about it this morning, that there's a lot of people today have got everything all backwards. They're celebrating the 4th with the 5th, and that is wrong. It is not. It's God's day. It's Jesus' day, and so we need to celebrate it. In fact, we ought to celebrate the holy day every day.
Amen.
You know, we call it a holiday, but to me, it's still just a holy day. For God, for what he done for me. And here's what he done for me. He signed my pardon a long time ago. So I'm going to try to sing it. Like I say, I'm going to try. Okay. I was in sin's prison, oh so dark and cold, like a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. But the door swung open, Jesus spoke to me. I have signed my pardon, you may now go free. Jesus signed my pardon, I surely know. Took my place at Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary, when the Savior led me from that awful place, I could hear the angels, they sang Amazing Grace. I know that I was pardoned from my sin and shame. Then I joined the singing, glory to his name. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. Took my place at Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary, life is now worth living since I've been set free. I'm glad he was willing to save a wretch like me. Now I have a mansion, not a prison wall. Jesus signed my pardon, yes, he paid it all. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. Took my place at Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary.
Amen.
most of you, if not all of you, by your testimony and the way you live, he did the same for you. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, let's turn with you to the book of John. John chapter 1. And I'm going to be using some very, very knowable or scriptures this morning. Amen. I was thinking about Independence Day, and I don't know. It's just, to me, this was given to me by the Lord many years ago. The Lord saved my soul, and I've never always been, I'm not always been what I ought to be. But thank God, he saved, kept me saved. And I praise the Lord for that. You know, he is our freedom. He is our independence. He is our everything, in other words. I could just go on and say this morning what he is, and surely it would be exactly right because it's coming from my heart. Now, chapter 1 of John, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's a lot of mouthful right there, isn't it? We need to just think about who God is this morning. We need to think about what he can do for us if he hasn't already. In fact, he hasn't already done all of it. He's still on the throne. He's still helping us out every way that he can. And we let him. And now, he supplies our every need, the Bible tells us. And thank God for that. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's a mouthful, isn't it? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended him, or it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. There was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It's even worse now than it was then. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Still that way today, even worse than it was then. But if many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and it was beheld his glory, the glory of his only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what is that telling us today? The Word is Jesus, is it not? The Word is Jesus. It's God's Word, and God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at this, and we look at what Jesus did for this world, he came into this world to seek and to save those that were lost. Surely, if you're not saved this morning, this ought to be the opportunity that you have to give your heart and life to the Lord. And I just thinking about this morning, I think about, I can't remember exactly what it was, but a long time ago, when the motels, you know, they were, kind of scored, so to speak. What was it? Five-star motels. And they were, five stars. And they were supposed to have been the best, right? That's what it told us when we heard that it was the best motel we could get. Now, I'm telling you today, and using that thought just for a minute, you can get your mind off of it now if you want to. I don't say what I want to about it, but Jesus is the one that we're supposed to look at today. Now, Jesus was questioned by a man whose name was Nicodemus. And that's found in the third verse of John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees, in the third chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And then Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, ye must be born again. And I'm telling you this morning that you already heard many, many, many years ago, I'm sure, and you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior many years ago. But I'll tell you again, the Bible says, and that's the reason you're saved today, is because the Bible tells you that you must be born again. And the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin, and when He convicted you of your sin, you got saved, right? Listen, none of us are no nothing as it is to the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without Jesus. He is the one that we have to look to today. So you see, Nicodemus said unto all of him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and you received not our witness. The Bible goes on to say, For God so loved the world. And that was not leaving anyone out. God so loved the world that He gave it His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Did He not? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I know this is kind of a simple message, so to speak, but I'm working toward something right here. This is my introduction right here, okay? So my introduction might be better than my message. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just working toward my message for the hour. And I believe it's for the hour that we're in today, because we're looking at the time when Jesus Christ could step out any time. He could step out on the eastern side and call His children home. And we as Christians ought to be Christian enough to be looking and longing for the Lord to come back, because this old world here has nothing for us. We're just strangers and pilgrims passing through. Praise the Lord for that. I'm glad that Jesus Christ died for my sin. I'm glad that He loved me enough to give His life for me. I'm glad that God loved me enough to give His only begotten Son for me. Aren't you? We ought to be if we're not. You see, Jesus loves us and He cares for us. And there's nothing but love and judgment if we do not receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. He loves us. He wants us to be saved, but He's given a free will to us that we might accept Him or reject Him. That's as simple as I know how to put it. And if we don't receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there's judgment coming. Amen? There's judgment coming. Even if we get saved and we don't follow Jesus like we ought to, we're going to have to answer for that. You see? We're going to have to answer for that. Yeah, we're going to have to answer for that. Everything that we do as a Christian, we're going to have to answer for it, because Jesus Christ died for our sin. He's already paid the sin debt. As I tried to sing a while ago, Jesus signed my pardon. He paid the sin debt. Praise the Lord for that. Over 2,000 years ago now, he gave himself for me. And I praise the Lord for that. But by him doing that, I want to get into my message this morning, if you don't mind. And if you do, just sit there and listen anyway, all right? Listen. We ought to be, as Christians, a five-star Christian. And let me stop and give them to you today, okay? And you probably have heard them many times. I don't know. But let me show you how to be a five-star Christian. Here's the way it is. God's Word, for one. We're to study God's Word, are we not? Yes. Sure we are. Read God's Word. Study God's Word. Don't just read it and put it down. Study it. It's meant for us to be studying, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's by faith, that by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are we saved, right? All right, if it's by grace, by faith through grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, then grace is, what's number five for? Grace, right? Spiritual number, grace, five. And I'm reminded when I said that, you know, we stopped somewhere. Where was it? In Food Line, wasn't it? Somewhere, when I paid her for it, it was $7.77. She said $7.77. Oh, I know where it was, Dollar General. $7.77. I said, well, it's a good number anyway. It's a spiritual number, amen? Seven means divine completeness. Praise the Lord, I had enough, because it was. Amen. All right, so you see, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And reading the Bible is vital to the Christian life. We can't do nothing but read the Bible. It's vital. We need to study God's word. I know I fail a lot of times in studying God's word, and I believe you do too. If you don't, then you're not human. Because, you know, those natural bodies, that hadn't been eradicated yet, right? We hadn't been, in other words, our body hadn't been changed yet. We're still living in this old natural body. We're having to put up with this old world that we're living in, and that don't help a bit. And after all of that, we still have to put up with the old devil. And that's worse than the world, because he is the world. He's the light of the world, so to speak. He's not just a little man running around with a red pitchfork and a red suit, no. The Bible tells us he's the angel of light. And so you see, he has things in his place that he wants to do to us. But look, we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, so he can't get to us, and I'll tell you why. The devil cannot get to us because we're covered by the blood, right? And if we're covered by the blood, if he came through the blood, he'd be saved devil, and he wouldn't want us then. Right? Am I telling you the truth, or am I not? Sure I am. I know you say, well, you know, I've heard that before, and how true it is. If you listen to me again, you might hear it again. Amen. I just feel good myself this morning. I don't know about you. I realize that Jesus Christ loves me. I realize that I'm not worthy of his love, but praise God, he loved me anyhow. Amen. Amen. And he did the same for you if you're saved. In fact, he loves you whether you're saved or not. He loves your soul. There's a lot of times he don't love the way I do, but he loves my soul. He still loves me. You see, We should be reading God's Word. We should search the Scripture. We could compare Scriptures to Scriptures. And also we should set a goal to memorize Scriptures and meditate on the Word of God in our personal lives and with our families each day. We need to be reading the Word of God. Do we not? I think families would be a whole lot closer if they had grown up reading the Bible together and studying God's Word together. But most of the time, it ain't like that, is it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But first of all, the one start is reading God's Word. Okay? Secondly is this. Pray. You know, we're only as strong as our prayer life. And there's a whole lot of Christians around that's weak Christians, including myself. My prayer life ain't what it ought to be many times. But when I call out to the Lord and He hears and answers my prayer and I can feel His presence in doing it, oh, how wonderful it is. Wonderful, wonderful is He. And by the way of prayer, I want to read this to you. It's a little card that I came up on when I was looking for something the other day. You know, I'm always laying things down, and she puts them up. I might not put them up, but I come up on them every once in a while. And this is the difference, okay, about prayer now. I'm not getting off of my message. I just want to read this to you. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why God doesn't help me, I wondered. He said, but you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day tolled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence, and I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before ending the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to have time to pray. Amen. That's my prayer life, right? Your prayer life, as I said a minute ago, you're only as strong as your prayer life. And remember that. God hears and answers prayer, does He not? I believe He does. I've seen it happen in my life, and I believe it. And even if I hadn't seen it in my life, I've seen it in some other lives, and I believe it. You see, the greatest untapped resource in the Christian life is the matter of prayer. Prayer. Each day, pray for loved ones, pray for the church leaders, pray for the families, and pray for our church, pray for our nation, pray for those that lost in sin. In other words, establish a prayer list and pray, 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 pray. The time is now. I can think of no better time than right now that we ought to start praying if we hadn't been praying like we ought to. Because we're living in perilous times. The Bible says that we're going to live in perilous times in the late days. And oh, how we're living in them right now. Are we not? Love is a pleasure more than love is of God. And that's what most people are doing today. They say, well, it's my day off. It's a holiday for me. Well, it may be, but it's also a holy day. And we ought not be doing what we think we ought to be doing. We ought to be in the house of God and trying to live for Him, getting something to take home with us. And I hope that I'm giving you something this day to take home with you. If I'm not, then open up both ears, and I believe you get a little bit anyway. Amen? All right, now, establish a prayer life. Establish a prayer list. Pray. I've known preachers and they had a prayer list and they didn't even have room for them. And they prayed for me every day. I praise the Lord for people to do that. I know my wife every once in a while said, pray for me. She said, I already did. Praise the Lord. That you got a wife that'll pray for you. That you got a husband that'll pray for you. And I believe Brother Bill prays for Sister Donna. I believe he does. Because you have to live with him. That's the reason he prays for you, right? Amen. All right. I got to have a little humor every once in a while. All right. That's number two star. First of all, study the word. Secondly, pray. Okay? Now, attend church faithfully. And I can't say a whole lot about that here. Because you know what? All of you are faithful. And I praise the Lord for that. But I just want to tell you what God's word says about it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembly ourselves together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? Jesus Christ coming. When we get together as a body of Christ to worship him in spirit and in truth, then don't you feel better when you fellowship one with another? I believe you do, and I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you do. And so, isn't it great? It's just great to be a Christian. But it's even greater to know Jesus Christ. We're to attend the church faithfully. The Lord Jesus Christ deserves your faithfulness. Does he not? If he had not been any more faithful to us than we are to him, what would happen to us? I can't say a whole lot because I know y'all are faithful here. But a great deal of the strength of the church is based on the faithfulness of the people. Support special meetings at the church with your faithful attendance. And this is a special event right here to me. You're here with your attendance. Thank God for it. And if I'd have come and none of you came, then I'd think something. In fact, you might have not wanted to, but you thought more of the church than you did anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, my. I'm getting in it now. I'm getting deep. I better quit. No, I'm just kidding. Look, God's word tells us, and what God's word tells us to do is what we need to do, right? And how are we going to know what to do if we don't study God's word, search the scriptures, and compare them to other scriptures? You can't take one scripture sometime and get the whole meaning of it. It relates to some other scriptures. And when you get to searching the scriptures, you start looking at this one, and it's got something good, then you got to look at another one, get something else good out of it. In fact, all of it's good. It's God's word. All right. Now, I believe you do this too. But I'm just telling you the stars of being a Christian, okay? What God tells us to do. Number three is attend church faithfully, right? Now, give. The Bible says to tithe is mine, saith the Lord. You're not giving him anything when you give it back to him. It's his anyway. Just give, give. God's work is to be supported God's way. Amen. Everything is submitted God's way. It's his anyway. Amen. God's work is to be supported God's way. The Bible teaches that then we should pay the tithe and give our offerings. Not only tithes, but offerings. The Bible speaks of that, doesn't it? Now, practice tithing as a conviction. Bringing the Lord's tithe with you to church every Sunday and support the ministers of the church with offerings. Amen. And I know, oh, I believe I know, that you're doing that. It's God's way or no way. And when you do it God's way, you cannot lose. Amen. All right. And last star, I believe, for us to be as a Christian is a witness for the Lord. What did Jesus Christ save you for? Did he save you just to take you to heaven with him? Absolutely not. If that had been the case, he wouldn't have had to die for us on Calvary's cross. We could just work our way into heaven. But we can't work our way into heaven, can we? Absolutely not. We can't do enough for God. He's already paid the debt, but we still ought to love him enough to try to pay him just a little bit. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those which were lost. Did he not? Sure he did. He left us on earth to tell others about the Savior. If he hadn't, then he saved you, then he took you on to heaven then. But he had a reason for keeping you here. Sometimes I wonder why he's keeping you me here. But I know, he's not through with me yet. I know my health ain't as good as it used to be. But he ain't through with me yet. And I want to do what God wants me to do while I'm able to do what I can do. And I don't want to say I can't do this and I can't do that because God can help me all the way. I do it sometimes. I know I do. I ain't perfect. I told you that many times. You get discouraged sometimes, don't you? And you say, well, you know, God just don't love me. But I'll tell you the truth. He loves you more than you think he does. All right? Determined to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. Today, we're here to worship him in spirit and truth. When we go out into this world, that's our mission field out there. This is our little mission place to worship and to learn about Jesus. Then we go out and tell the world about Jesus. You say, well, you know, I don't feel like doing that. Well, I don't do it a whole lot of times. But you know, I thought a long time ago, you know, when computers came along, I said, oh, Lord, that's the ruin of the world. I'm on here when the, well, I didn't remember anyway. I know we didn't have one, but I just thought, you know, it wasn't no such a thing. It was a telephone. But it was. You say, well, you know, I don't feel like getting out and going nowhere to see nobody. Well, ain't you got a telephone right there beside of you? Some of us got them in a pocketbook. Some of us got it in some pocket. And all we have to do is, you know, somebody's lost without Christ. And I don't know if anybody is under the sound of my voice this morning that doesn't know somebody that needs a Savior. And what we need to do is just get on our telephone. Find out the number if you don't know it. I believe God will help you to find it. I really do. Because somebody knows that number. I've had a whole lot of times that I had to call somebody and ask about a number because I had it, but then, like me, I just misplaced it. Don't say nothing. You know how it is, don't you? But anyway, I had to call somebody every once in a while. Say, do you know so-and-so's number? Oh, yeah. Sure do. I said, can you give it to me? Sure I can. See, that's God putting it together. Amen. If you don't know it, find out. Because God doesn't make any mistakes. Everything he does is right. And sometimes we wonder, is that really God's way? Well, I think he wants us to do it any way we can. If you can't go out, then call him on the phone. Tell him about Jesus. Don't be bashful. You know, I was bashful when I was going to school. I still am to a certain degree. And I know most of you don't believe that. And you probably won't, but I can tell you I am. But you know, when I was a little boy, it always embarrassed me for the teacher to call my name. Because I knew she was going to want me to stand up in front of somebody or the class and tell some things, I don't know, or answer questions she had, whatever, I don't know. But I always knew she had something for me to do or ask me to do. And you know what? I wanted to crawl up under my desk. That's how bashful I was. Look at me now. I'm still bashful. If it wasn't for God's grace, I don't know what I've been or where I've been. The same with you. If it wasn't for God's grace, where would you be today? Think about it. Somebody hadn't told you about Jesus. What would happen to you? Most of the time, if you ain't never heard about Jesus, you ain't gonna ask him to save you. You're gonna go on and just go on without it. But you've heard about him. Therefore, you got saved. All right? Maybe they hadn't heard about him. Like you can tell them. When Jesus Christ tells you to go witness to somebody, be sure that you do it. Amen? Because he's got their heart ready. And I could tell you several about that. I think I've told you some of my testimony, and I told you about one. I sure did hate to go, but God told me to go, so I had to go. I never met the man. But his wife came to that church at that time. But you know, God's got a place for every one of us in his family. And you think about what's happening now. I'm going to say this, it's more of a need to now than it was back several years ago. Because it's getting closer and closer to the Lord's coming. All right or wrong? Okay. Now, work to bring other families to Christ and to the church. Set a time to go. Make a list of names and addresses of the people you want to reach for Christ. I'm just saying this, determine this morning to be a five-star Christian. Would you do that this morning? I want to read a scripture to you, and I marked it. It might take me just a minute, so just hold up. Oop, there it went right there. I can probably quote it, but I don't want to quote it wrong. We are at this time right now, okay? And I'm going to close with this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Why? Way back 2,000 years ago, God knew what was going to happen then. And he said, called by my name shall humble themselves. Well, he knew we weren't going to be humble people because of things that's happening in this world. We wondering why instead of being humble. Well, I know why. He says, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Do you want our land healed? Do you want people saved? I'm sure you do. So that's what I'm telling you this morning. Yes, let's enjoy our independence and what the forefathers have set aside for us. But most of all, let's enjoy serving God because He's the reason for all of it. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the word of God, and I pray, Lord, you help us to use it for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen us in the faith, and Lord, help us to be what you'd have us to be. Lord, for each one of us that are here this morning, Lord, I ask that you just put someone on our heart to testify to, if you hadn't already, Lord. And then there's room for some more, if you just give us some more. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just bless this church in a special way. And Lord, I know that being just a few in number, Lord, is kind of discouraging. But Lord, we know that we're on the winning side. And everything's going to be all right because it's not very long before you split the eastern sky, Lord. Thank you. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.